Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Authority Podcast. This is your co-host Cody Kutzer. Find me on Twitter at CKutzerFF. Joined as always by the man himself, the Wrath of Fantasy, with the 13 at the end. That is Kevin Steele. I'm super pumped for tonight. Went out, got a Belgian triple for the occasion. The guy we're talking to, we decided to have some commissioner corona talk, try and figure out the stuff that no one seems to know. I guess we're going to try and do that when we have no idea what's about to happen. We are bringing in your favorite commissioner's favorite commissioner, and that is John Bosch. You can find him on Twitter at John Bosch FF. You can find his pods, the Dynasty Game Night podcast and Dynasty Wall Street. Fellas, what is going on?
Not much. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the introduction. There's obviously other commissioners that are way more renowned than I am. But I love you having me on for this. And unfortunately, I've spent a lot of time thinking about this lately. So I am ready to talk about it.
Kev, you you have anything to say, buddy?
Hey, you know, I'm just hanging out. You know, I figured maybe, you know, I was kind of hoping maybe if we never talked about COVID and fantasy football and football, it would just go away. Like some other people think that's the way that it works, but
one day it's just going to disappear.
Yeah, but it's a real scenario that we're really going to have to talk about. We really need to just start like really looking into. I think there's some groundwork you can look at, like how the fantasy baseball community has been handling it, because obviously the situation is going on there, but. I think it's going to be, there's a lot of questions, and I don't know how many answers we have right now.
And how many answers will stay the same or change every week, every day. Honestly, I just went through and sent out a message to all of my leagues with what my plan currently is. And at the bottom of it, I think I put a disclaimer that said, like, this could all change, you know, dramatically. I'm preparing as much as I can, and I want my league to be prepared as much as it can be, but hopefully it's all a waste of time. And I spent, you know, some time trying to prepare, and it's for naught. But unfortunately I think there's a chance it could go the other way as well. So gotta prepare just in case.
Yeah, there's just so much craziness and uncertainty surrounding all this. We were talking before we started recording. We're like, man, we should probably look and figure out if there's anything like set in stone. And then we both were on Google scrolling through stuff, and we were just like, nope,
not yet.
I guess they're gonna just open training camps and hope for the best. Apparently, I don't. The one thing we did see is that players are going to be tested every day for, what was it, the first 2 weeks, and then it's going to be every other day after that. Like, there are some things that do seem to be, I guess, kind of set relative to everything else, but it's just so crazy that the fact that they're opening training camps and there still doesn't seem to be anything set as far as you can set this, because I think once we get into the season, if there's just one team where, you know, God forbid 20% of them test positive or something, who knows, you know, what these plans are going to end up doing. It's going to end up getting all tossed in the garbage anyway, but it's at least it seems like we're going to have some sort of season in some form or fashion. However that ends up looking at the end of the year, who knows, however many games that ends up being. Like, hopefully we don't end up having to have like a pause in the middle of the season or, you know, anything like that. But there's just so much unknown about this.
Yep. But I mean, we've got soccer back. We've got baseball and basketball coming back. So, you know, I'm hopeful. I want to have a season. I want football. I'm hopeful. I really think there's a lot of reasons for the NFL to make it happen. So I think we will have football. That's different than where I felt a few months ago. I thought 2020 was basically just canceled outright for the entire year. So I'm hopeful, you know. Let's go with that for now.
Well, so, I mean, I guess, like, to really start, like, kind of the groundwork of everything, like, how do you think commissioners should structure their leagues? Because, like, I'm of the thought of that it might be so like the way, like, for example, again, I bring up fantasy baseball because I'm actually, you know, I have a fantasy baseball draft that we just did, and we just kind of went through talking about it. And one of the questions, you know, the people in the league ask is like, well, what happens if the season ends early, right? Because typically, you know, and how do you go about that? What if the season only ends up being 10 weeks or something like that? Like, how do you go about it? Like, to me, it's tough, but I think maybe you almost, in my opinion, that I started thinking about it was like, for us, like, we're doing a points league, but for football, have more time, like, almost structure it kind of like DFS, where on a weekly basis, I mean, everyone just kind of see whoever scores the most points every week and just make it a total points league, because then if it only lasts 10 weeks or whatever, then you could probably just crown the champion. If the season were not to continue, then you could at least have some sort of champion there.
Yeah, if you have that plan in place before you have something like the draft or auction, like, that's extremely important, knowing that you're competing in a total points based league, because obviously if a guy's on a week 13 bye, well, he's more valuable because the season might be over by then. Whereas a guy that's on week 5 or week 6 bye, you got to, like, for me, in leagues that are already existing, that's why I can't just go with total points, because somebody has a team that there's going to be an unfair advantage. And no matter what the outcome of this, there's literally no perfect way. We can talk about a ton of scenarios tonight, which is what I'm here for. And I've talked with a lot of scenarios. Every single scenario has a downside. Every single scenario isn't, okay, let's do it this way, as long as the league's on board. That's the key for me, is like making sure that the league knows the plan. For redraft, the total points is perfect. Especially if you haven't drafted yet, obviously. But you have to make sure that everybody's aware of that. Because for me, that would definitely change how I treated guys that have an early bye. If I'm going for a win in a total points league in a season where I'm not sure if they're going to make it past week 10, I'm definitely going to stack my buys up for later in the year. Terrible as it is, I do want to win whenever I play. So that's something that if I know that going in, it would factor in a little bit on how I did my draft or auction.
And what would be your at least thought process of for like dynasty leagues and how they should move forward?
So for dynasty, it's tougher, and there's multiple issues. For me, in the communication that I sent out to every league, there were some main factors. One is, what do we do with the prize money? Like, that's the first question, because you have to handle money. It's part of fantasy football. It's the worst part for a commissioner, collecting it. Just sucks. But once you have it, you have to make sure you pay it out. I want to be open and upfront with how I plan to pay out. In my leagues, every single one of my leagues has a charitable component, which means I can't just say, all right, everybody gets their money back, unless we say we're taking money away from charity. I also have progressive pots, which those I'm fine, like taking the money out of those. But it's to me, I kind of want to have those progressive pots continue to grow because they're a real small percentage. They're like $5 or $10 a year. So I don't really feel like divvying $5 or $10 up amongst 14 people. So what I ended up doing in mine from a money perspective was finding a nice number. It ended up being about 50% of what the money was, of what the payouts normally would be, just because so much of it already goes to, or what all the buy-ins, 50% of all the buy-ins, I should say. And basically everybody will get 2021 at half price in my leagues. And I know that kind of sucks, but we're going to end up giving more money if the season gets canceled to charity. A lot of the charity goes to the Fantasy Cares toy drive. Some of it goes to Go Pantry, which is a food bank, which obviously that's extremely important right now. So in my view, I kind of said to everybody in my league, look, like if the season gets canceled, it's getting canceled because we are in a bad place. We aren't getting better. That means we are getting worse if the season gets canceled. So I definitely am not going to take the money away from charity. I can't. It's already been donated. So definitely, you know, we're just going to give a little bit more, and then I'm going to make it so that everybody has a nice even amount going to 2021. Even if you're not getting a full 2020 season, maybe you got half price worth. You know, we still did a draft. We still did an auction. You still had trading year round. In a dynasty league, there's a lot more aspects than just simply winning the championship. So for me, the fact that you end up getting like, you know, kind of half of the experience of a league, I didn't feel too bad. I got zero pushback on that. Nobody felt bad about that. I don't run high stakes leagues either, though. I can imagine if you're in a high stakes league that you might want some of that money back. But if your buy-ins, you know, 25, 35, 40 bucks, whatever, like people don't get all that upset. But I do want to make sure people get their money back too. I don't want anybody to feel like they've wasted money on a year. So for me, it was just about coming up with a concrete plan, letting everybody know, and making sure everybody's on board with it. I also did separate, like, if we get into the season and we are far enough into the season where some people are mathematically eliminated from winning, they're not getting prize money back. So no matter when we split the prize money up, it's not going to the people that are eliminated from playoff contention. They didn't have a chance to win that money, so they don't get a share of it. Everybody else will get a little bit of a share of it. So, you know, or a little bit more of a share. That's my plan for the money.
So are you putting like stipulations in, like if season hits this portion or this percentage of the season, then we'll do this? Or if it, cause I mean, if it lasts 3 weeks, obviously then you pretty much, I mean, obviously in dynasty leagues, but in like redraft, all right, we're just going to give everybody's money back. Yeah. It was fun for the 3 weeks. We got to enjoy it. But, you know, cause I mean, I could see where, you know, you have leagues where people are going to be like, you know, you get like 11 or 12 weeks in, right? And mm-hmm. where people are, you know, people are gonna be like, well, wait, no, like my team's dominating, whatever, you know, I don't want to just give all the money back and give it all back to everybody. Like, that's not fair. But the teams that are certainly out of it are gonna be like, yeah, you know, definitely, we definitely need to give the money back, right?
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to make sure that, like, anybody that's mathematically eliminated, you're not getting anything back. Anybody that's still in contention, yeah, you might get screwed. I mean, there's no way around it. I am not going to be the person that projects what would have happened. I don't like to project what players will do. I'm not good at projecting things. I'm not going to say, well, just because you've won 10 of 13 games and you've lost 3 of 13, I'm not going to be the one that says you would win 3 straight in the playoffs of fantasy. Like, that's very rarely do we actually see fantasy football go that way. So I don't think you can really, to me, I just can't crown a champion. I do have some leagues that are best ball, which is a point scoring league. And in those, I basically said, if we get halfway through, if we get to week 8, then the scoring is then the season is final. It's official. Once we get to week 8, I said the halfway point, no real reason other than picking, you know, kind of a plot point where I felt we would have enough data to know which teams have actually done enough. Yes, you do get screwed in those ones if your players have had their bye in week 5, 6, 7, 8. I think there's 5 is the earliest one. So 5, 6, 7, 8. And then it ends after week 8. Yeah, that might have knocked you out of the money, and that sucks. But, you know, it's a best ball league, so we can at least we can at least have some sort of a way to try and crown a champion. If it ends really early, like if they try and get this off the ground and it's done in a month, there's really no way to figure out what was going to happen. You don't know who's going to trade what over the final course of a fantasy football season. There's just simply no way for me to try to crown a champion in a season that doesn't have a week 16.
We asterisk season.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't even want my name on a trophy if I've been declared a winner and I didn't actually win it. I mean, yeah, I would. If anybody's listening out there and I'm in your league, like, totally just declare me the winner, put my name on the trophy. I don't care what asterisk is on there. I'll take anything I get as a champion. I don't feel comfortable doing that as a commish. So I don't see how people plan to crown a champion if you don't have a championship game.
And why do I always hear people that play Dynasty always say that, like, money's not the most important thing? Like, that is the only thing that matters in fantasy football. Why are we playing this? Maybe that's just me, the degenerate gambler degenerate in me, that is all I care about. Because I know a lot of you Dynasty folks will play, like, 17,000 leagues. And you guys, it's kind of like clout where you're like, yeah, I'm in like 41 dynasty leagues. I think I'm going to cut down this year. I cut down to 35, and I'm like, well, damn, dude, you're playing a lot of money. Like, no, they're like $5 or $10 leagues. I'm like, why don't you just play one that's like 100 and just call it a day or something like that? You know, like, I don't know. Like, I guess you got to get your shares of your guys, right? You're like, well, I got to get my shares. You know, I need my shares.
That's why.
You know, I don't have enough shares. Like, I don't know.
Dynasty, it's so much harder to get a player. A redraft, it's pretty easy. If you don't get them 1 year, you just get them the next year if you want them.
Or play DFS and you can get them every week. You can get whoever you want.
Yes. And DFS and Dynasty are like a great pair. I like both. I like redraft too. I like all forms of fantasy football. I'm kind of a junkie. But yeah, DFS is a perfect pairing. Any dynasty player should definitely play that because it is one way to prevent you from having too many leagues, which a lot of people do. A $5 in free leagues. There are some people that play free dynasty leagues. I don't know how they can do that. That just seems like a headache to me. But no, I play in a lot. And I'm okay with it. It is because I like to have a diverse portfolio, and like, it allows me to say, okay, well, I have a lot of this guy, so I should probably trade some of him because now he's popping off, and I don't need to really keep all these shares. So for me, that's why I play. Plus, I'm just a junkie. Anytime there's a new league with some creative way to play fantasy football, I end up being interested, which is a shame. That's probably more my reason, is just all these leagues are different.
I've always felt like the Dynasty community, though, is like much like a cult. Like, it's very much cult. Very, like, people, if you don't play Dynasty, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what am I thinking of? What's the workout that people do? I can't think of the top of my head. It's right there.
CrossFit.
CrossFit is what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's like the CrossFit community.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't CrossFit? Let me tell you why you should do CrossFit, okay? Same thing with Dynasty. It's like, you guys are like hyenas, and it's like, it's crazy. And you guys think that you, like, you know, you're, when you drink from something, your pinky's up in the air at people and everything else. And, you know, redraft, rookie.
No, I play them all, and I'll be the first. If nobody else has told you, I'll be the first to tell you. There's a lot of people that shouldn't play Dynasty. There's a lot of people that shouldn't play DFS. There's a lot of people that shouldn't play fantasy football, period. I mean, all you can do is give it a try and see if you like it, but there's definitely some people that should not play Dynasty that do. I mean, they end up being inactive. So, if you're not ready to – if somebody's not ready to be active in – dive in their dynasty league, like, yeah, they're not a candidate and they should not play dynasty football.
Kev is also the person who had like sushi one time and didn't like it. Was so like, sushi sucks. What's a sushi? Why do you guys eat sushi? It's shit stupid. I'm gonna spend $30 on this raw fish. It's dumb.
Well, I mean, I always feel like that, like, the DFS community is the smartest community of them all. Like, we're sitting here, like, you know, like, diving in and trying to find this hidden gem for this 1 week that we're not going to care about the next week. And, you know, when Dan Arnold week happens, or, you know, stuff like that happens for the 1 week, and you smash and you just drop your nuts on the table, like, you know, that's all we care about, is the week to week basis. But, like, you have to dig so deep into DFS that, I don't know. In terms of in season, I feel like the DFS community you know, is number one, in my opinion, in terms of just how deep you go. But obviously, there's no real comparison between redraft and dynasties completely.
I play them all, so I don't really have a...
Let's be honest. The typical redraft guy, your standard redraft guy usually shows up with his draft mag, just picked it up from the store, shows up, and, all right, boys, who we drafting this year? All right, fourth round. Let me get that
God,
kicker.
You legit sound like somebody in my original redraft league. When you said, all right, boys, who we drafting this year, that totally sounded like some guy in my redraft league that I'm thinking of as soon as you said it. No, and hey, they're, like I said, some people should not play Dynasty and some people should not play DFS. They can lose a lot of money fast in DFS. You can lose a lot of money slowly playing Dynasty if you are that magazine redraft person. But it's pretty easy to dive in a little bit further in either way, in DFS or Dynasty. I mean, there's a lot of content centered around both those types of fantasy football that can make you a pretty decent player pretty fast, at least.
No, for sure. So I guess to, you know, get back onto the COVID aspect of
little
it.
Sidetrack from the COVID.
Is there anybody else you want to go after, Kev, before we, you know?
No, I feel good. I feel good now. You know, I always got to get that out. I got to get my shade out. You know, I got to throw it out there. But
I actually, salary cap's actually my favorite way to play. And to me, that's kind of a mix of, it's a lot of mix of everything.
That's how I started playing back in like 2000, yeah. 2001. It was like Sporting News, I think. And it was like, it was salary cap leagues. Everybody could pick. So basically everybody could pick everybody. There was no like drafting, right? And every week, it was kind of like early DFS, I guess, right?
I'm not talking about that kind of a salary. I'm talking more like a dynasty salary cap.
Right.
Where you sign people for multiple years and stuff, but not forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, so essentially what would happen is like each week you would, as your players got like better or whatever, they would earn money. So you would have this extra money that you could like cash out and spend more money to build a better team. That's like early, like news. Like,
it was like I have wanted to create a stock market dynasty league based on DFS pricing. But there's no way to do it without like a lot of manual work. So I haven't done it, but that sounds very similar to what you're talking about, but you would keep the players year to year. Till you sold them, and then you would have more money, like for the auction, and
this is the real reason why a lot of us are in 20 leagues, because we're all in like John Bosch leagues, and we'll get the Voxer message of, I've been thinking about a different league, and everyone just like,
you got more than different leagues.
Yeah. you want to do a Fortnite based league where it's 1 week, and if you win, you move on, and you take somebody else's team with you. You just keep picking up loot as you go. that thing filled up. That'll be fun.
Wait, that's a real thing.
Oh yeah, we do it. Jason Tran actually came up with the idea, and then I worked with him a little bit on it last year, and we started a fantasy football battle royale. 64 owners. We start out with an auction, a four copy auction. And week one, there are 32 matchups. If you win, you advance to the next round, but you get to take any player that you want from the team that you defeated, plus any players from your roster, plus you get their blind bidding. But you have to stay within the certain roster constraint. Anybody you don't take just gets dropped out, left out laying in the field for people to come by and pick up, which is the waiver wire. So 6 weeks, all you got to do is win six games in a row. That's easy to do, right? By the end and by the finals, I mean, you end up getting a head-to-head matchup of teams that are just absolutely stacked.
You guys are sick. You guys are just sick. How do you guys think of this stuff?
It is sick. And that's not Dynasty, because there's no key. That is really close to DFS. It's just slightly more, because you have to strategize on, okay, if I do win this week, who do I play next week, and how do I differentiate my player pool from their player pool? It's definitely a different one.
I remember Travis May and Justin McCaslin, who used to be OT.
Dynasty lifers.
Yeah, but they talk about like superpower leagues.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Excuse me, what?
Yeah, they're in my power hungry league, which is...
Oh, that's also you. Okay, yeah, that's also you. All
that's
right.
Me. That's absurd.
I told you, this is the reason why.
Yeah, that one, you know how people say there's no defense? You can't really play defense in fantasy football. You can't do anything to like stop your opponent. Oh, in this one you can. You can play powers to force a player out of a game, to force a player not to even be able to start a game. You can steal a player. That one's fun. It's a lot of work though. Yeah, that's not even fantasy football. That's just a strategy game that happens to have some fantasy football elements. I mean, I'm completely honest about that. I wouldn't even play fantasy football if I could find some other way to have like this much of a rush of a strategy game. That's all fantasy football is to me. It's just a strategy game I can gamble on a lot, which is what I enjoy doing. All right, let's get back to the COVID stuff. What did we talk about? We talked about the prize money. The next big question is always like, what do we do with the rosters? Do we expand the rosters? Do we expand the IR? My answer for that is, well, I should know by now, but I don't. It would be really nice if I knew exactly what the NFL's plan was, because right now we're waiting on my fantasy league to find out what the NFL plan is so that we can know what their plan is. They've kind of hinted at the fact that if the NFL allows for like some sort of temporary IR spot for COVID players, you know, right now, at least we couldn't find anything that's been approved yet. Right now, if you go on the IR, there's a minimum amount of time until you can be designated to return. And I think they can only designate to return. Is it a few players if it's more than one, but I think it might just be one.
Did they not approve the 3 week?
I don't think it's official yet. That's the thing.
No, that's not official. The only thing that
like there's rumors about that.
That seems like too long to me. Like, I know you want to be cautious, but why not just make it to where they test pot negative on two consecutive tests? Like that would seem to make the most sense to me.
I think that's what Cody found right before we started recording.
Yeah, so there was there's an article on NFL.com that was released at 4:30 today that says if a player tests positive but has no symptoms, he can return to the facility 10 days after the initial positive test, or if he receives two consecutive negative tests within 5 days of the initial positive test. If the player has a positive test and symptoms, he can return after at least 10 days have passed since the symptoms first appeared and at least 72 hours have passed since he last experienced symptoms. So that does seem like that is down to like a 10-day thing. And then depending on if you do or do not have symptoms, the symptoms is going to extend that for a little bit longer.
So, and this is why, so the way I addressed that kind of section of the communication I sent out was, I don't know, because this is what happens. If I were to go with the 3 weeks, which is what I had been hearing over and over and over up until tonight, I would have been completely wrong. So I can't make that determination. And I don't think anybody should make that determination until we start to have a concrete information from the NFL. MFL, my fantasy league, has kind of said, I assume Sleeper and every other site will be very similar, that once they get the plan from the NFL, then they'll determine what they have to do on their specific site. So then the commissioners can go ahead and determine what we need to do. For me, it's pretty simple. If the NFL allows NFL teams to designate players as injured reserve, that's pretty easy. They just put them on IR. Maybe they waive the rule of having to wait 8 weeks or until week eight or whatever it is. I know I can't remember the exact NFL rule on the designation to return, but maybe they change that this year and just let people come back, but be on the IR. That way they can go ahead and sign somebody off the street and keep their roster at a high enough number. To me, that seems really logical, really easy, but it's the NFL. So I maybe there's contract things in there that they don't want to have to deal with for doing that. If that's the case, then my fantasy league, I think it'll be real easy. They'll just get the IR designation. So in that case, I will just expand the IR in my leagues. I'll probably just go unlimited this year. Like, I don't care. Like, if you have 20 guys on your roster that test positive and are out for 10 days throughout the season at some point, or 2 weeks throughout the season, like, to me, your roster should not hurt because of that. If the NFL goes the other way and just says, okay, this guy's just out and not being treated like injured reserve, and it's just being treated like a hamstring pull, that gets a little bit harder for me. I don't allow people that aren't on IR to be on the IR of our of our fantasy leagues. Like, you have to be officially on the IR to be on IR. I don't care if you're suspended. I don't care if you're out. I don't care if you're questionable. None of that is injured reserve. So for me, in that scenario, what I plan to do, if like if that's how the NFL plans to treat it, I'm probably just going to increase roster sizes. You know, add I don't know, 4 or 5 spots for each league, I think is what I ended up going with. Some leagues are shallower by nature of the design. Some leagues are deeper. So I'm just going to add a few extra roster spots for 2020. It's not going to hurt anything. You know, we're probably going to have to play the waiver wire a little bit more this year, which is good. That creates activity. That's fun and entertaining. But if we open up the rosters to be a little bit deeper, you know, it might allow people to at least be prepared. Or if they're not prepared, they can try and fix it in the season rather than just being stuck with, you know, 4 or 5 guys that are out and struggling to put a starting lineup out because they didn't plan. They don't have room. They don't want to have to drop somebody good just to add somebody that's only going to be played for 1 or 2 games. So expanding the rosters kind of solves it going that direction.
So I know for like other stuff, like for redraft people that play, you know, ESPN or yeah, Yahoo leagues or whatever, right? They're not on my fantasy league.
Yep.
I know for them,
I assume they'll do the same.
Well, so what typically happens so let's say they were ruled as there's no IR and they're just like out, kind of like a you know, like you said, like a hamstring pull or whatever, and they're going to miss a couple of weeks. So basically the way ESPN works is you have to wait until the team declares them out, and then you can put them on IR, but the following week they get removed from that. So like come Tuesday, you essentially have to either drop that player you picked up or something else to make room to activate that player again, or else you can't pick anybody else up until that player would get put back on IR
Site-wise, or is that chosen by the commissioner? I think the commissioner might be able to alter that on ESPN.
I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that's how it works because each week they move them on and off whatever as the start of the week. They'll move them back to questionable, and then if anybody, they have to be on out to be able to put them on IR.
I think I might check the commissioner settings if I commission a league on ESPN just to double check. I thought all the redraft sites, maybe they don't. Jeezle Pete's, good Lord, come on, redraft sites. I thought they allowed the commissioner to adjust that setting. But maybe they don't. It's been a little bit since I've played on ESPN, so maybe that is how they have it set now, that guys that are declared out can be put on IR. I'm not a fan of that rule.
I know that for sure, because that's how it was last year. We play on ESPN in my home league, and that's how it is. Yeah, I mean, then you had to do that every week last week. If someone was declared out, you had to wait basically until Sunday most of the time for them to be put on as out, and then you could pick somebody up, take their spot, and then come Tuesday, if you wanted to make a move, you had to drop whoever you just picked up to be able to, because you have to move them out of IR.
Well, that definitely seems like it would work. You know, you have to wait till they're declared out, but I would assume that as soon as a guy tests positive, although it depends, I guess, when, if what Cody just read, there's a window where he could test positive and still be back without really missing games. No, it was 10 days minimum, right? So, like, he's going to be, as soon as you test, like, you're definitely going to be out for the next game. I wonder how quickly they declare, though, the guy out. Is it instant, or is it like everything else with the NFL where, like, hey, you don't have to declare it until 11 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday morning that the guy is in or out, and we're all sitting there waiting for the inactives list to find out?
You really have to wonder, too, how much the NFL, because you imagine a team that's really on the brink of the playoffs, they're getting ready to make the playoffs or something like that.
He is not testing positive this week.
Yeah, and their quarterbacks are like, you know, Matt Stafford or whatever. I mean, I guess that's crazy to imply the Lions are going to make the playoffs,
fell in the garbage. Yeah, I mean, you wonder that with a lot of testing for the NFL, will this kind of testing be any different? I mean, maybe I shouldn't question the ethics of the NFL when testing players testing players that they want to be on the field on Sundays. So there's definitely an aspect to that as well. Probably deeper in the season, there's a lot of guys that are lower risk of testing positive. Is that what we're saying? I don't know. I don't know their testing procedure. Is it an independent testing facility that got this contract, or is it an NFL-based, like the NFL team docs
are
collecting? And is it somebody on the NFL payroll?
The NFL has contracted with a national lab to handle the testing for all 32 teams so that the league's testing needs will not be a drain on supplies in local markets.
So that doesn't say if they're – it doesn't sound like the testing lab will be coming to collect. It sounds like they'll be sending the tests to them. I don't know. I mean, you're definitely right, Kevin. There is probably some aspect of that that, you know, come playoff push time, it's going to be a lot harder for somebody to test positive. So that's terrible. We shouldn't even have to think about that. But yeah,
or you're the playoffs to, and like yeah. Pat Mahomes gets all of a sudden goes down with coronavirus.
They're definitely done testing by playoff time. There's no way anybody's failed. Patrick Mahomes is not missing a game in the playoffs for sure. He'll test positive like when they've already clinched and they have 2 weeks. Like, oh, he just tested positive. He's out for the next 2 weeks. You know. That means we don't have to test him in the playoffs. No, that's all. Sorry, we're getting way conspiracy theory. And yeah, I'm kind of making light of it, but yeah, you're not wrong that is a little scary that could be true.
Or whenever you see him go back to the sideline and like Mahomes is just 10 feet away from all the other teammates, and like that becomes like the talk. That becomes like the talking point. Like, is he COVID? Did you see him in the huddle on the sideline?
He's got a megaphone. He's 10 feet away from the huddle, just so that the huddle can hear them. Meanwhile, everybody could be literally. I won't get into it. How they literally could put mics and speakers in everybody's helmet, and they could not be all right on top of each other in the huddle if they didn't want to.
Just run 100% shotgun.
let's face it, that would be more fun for all of us anyways. So
yeah, for sure. So how would you, as a redraft, so like for redraft, like obviously Dynasty's gonna be played different, but redraft, what would your draft strategy be heading into this? To I mean, are you, do you change it all? Do you just draft like you normally would draft?
So for me, my redraft, I mean, other than like best ball stuff that I enjoy while I'm doing it, but let's face it, we all do best ball stuff and then not really care about it after it's done until like week 16. The redraft stuff that I am in, we don't really draft or auction until really close to the start of the season. I'm talking like the last 2 weeks of the off season is when almost all my stuff is scheduled. I don't think I'm going to let it affect my strategy, but we're a month away from where I'll even be doing redraft stuff. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely going to be some factors in it. You know, there's the obvious example of everybody thinks Ezekiel Elliott's already had it. Do we bump him up because you don't think he's going to miss games? So that lowers his risk. For me, I tend to take some risks as it is. Cause I think to win a fantasy football championship, you kind of have to take some risks and get a little bit lucky on those risks. So playing it safe for me doesn't always make a difference. So I'm not going to like push up Zeke past CMC or Saquon. I might push him past Alvin Kamara. For a lot of people, he's probably already ahead of Alvin Kamara. I happen to like Kamara better, but I'm not going to like bump him up I'm not going to try it. I'm not going to overreact. I'm going to plan that we're going to have the season. If I miss a guy for a week or two, it's like any other injury. I don't typically plan for injury. I tend to be pretty injury agnostic. I don't think guys are injury prone. There are some guys that I tend to shy away from because they seem to get injured more. But I don't think they're injury prone. They're just unlucky folks. So I don't know that it'll really affect my draft strategy all that much. Will it affect yours at all?
I mean, the way I look at it, I kind of feel like that you could make a case that maybe zero RB is a little bit more attractive this year just because of how deep the wide receiver position is. And if any of those top guys go down at running back, then, you know, those backups and everything else start to become a little bit more valuable. But I mean, that I honestly probably wouldn't change how I draft it all that much. It would depend on, you know, if you're still running a normal head-to-head redraft league or is it total points, that would probably change a little bit.
Yeah, total points I would change a little bit. Like we talked about earlier, I would look at guys that have bye weeks late a little bit differently.
For sure. Yeah. And so, I mean, it just kind of varies a little bit, I guess, but No, I mean, I probably would try not to change it all that much the way that I know, because I don't, it's going to be such a crapshoot of understanding who's it going to be, who's the guy you're going to. I mean, there's no planning for it. There's nothing you can do. It's just going to be pure luck, right? So, I mean, I guess you probably should just go into it as, you know, it is what it is. I do think as a commissioner, you probably should be looking into adding more bench spots, even if you make a rule where, you know, we're going to add three extra bench spots, because some leagues only cap you on how many IR spots you can have. Like I know Yahoo, for example, does. They cap you at 5 bench spots, I think. I don't know what ESPN's is off the top of my head. But that might not be enough. Between regular injuries, because they are still playing football, right? Yeah. And there's also the factor, like, because it sounds like they're not going to have any preseason. And I don't know how training camp's going to work. So if you got, like, the only real evidence we have to go back off of is kind of if you go back and look at the 2011 season when they had the strike, where everything was really condensed. They missed all this time. With that season, there was, like, I think there was, like, 3 or 4 teams that averaged over 30 points per game, which set a record. I think you're going to see that this year. Like, I think you're going to have a ton of points scored, and this is going to be a great year for fantasy football. And we're going to have to, if they make it through all the way, because I think offenses are going to be well ahead of defenses, because they're not going to have any time to practice. Rookies have had no time to practice, because I know they're getting to come in a couple days early. I think they weren't allowed to report tomorrow, I think, isn't that what it is?
I think originally it was today, wasn't it?
I thought it was supposed to be tomorrow.
Maybe it is tomorrow.
But I do think that is certainly going to be a thing. Like, I think scoring is going to be way up. And so I don't know. I just think this is going to be a wild year for fantasy football. I honestly hope it happens. I know there's a lot of people that are pessimistic about it. Like, there's no way they're going to be able to play, which I understand, because it's a little bit easier, like, in baseball, right? Because there's a lot more social distancing going on. Like, most
naturally. It's not a contact sport.
Yeah, you're not out here. You know, at most you have the catcher, or, you know, up against the hitter, and then you have maybe, you know, the guy covering first base and the runner. You know, that's about it, right? In football, they're touching each other all the time. And I know they created that mask or whatever that's supposed to go over the face mask, but I don't know. It's just going to be a complete crapshoot to me.
It is. I really, like I said, I'm hopeful we have a season. I do think there's a chance that it gets bad and they just say, all right, we can't do football, which it would be heartbreaking. I think that's a small chance. It's very small chance. There's a lot of money to be lost if they don't have a season. I mean, the NFL got pretty lucky with when this hit, the fact that they got all their stuff done. I remember being shocked in March, though, that March Madness got canceled. I love March Madness. And when that got canceled, I was like, oh my God, that's just so much money. I really didn't think that would get canceled. So I've had that shock to my system. The NFL would be a shock to my system that I don't even know how to prepare for, just because I don't expect that many people to give up that much money.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just on the owner side; it's also on the player side. I mean, that's a lot of money for
it's everything. I mean, it's TV deals, it's ad buys. I mean, it's an industry like no other that I can't imagine going away.
No,
so that's why that's as bad as that might be the reason. That's the reason I honestly think that we make it all the way through Week 16, and into the playoffs for sure.
I hope so. I mean,
what about you, Cody? Will change your strategy towards drafting at all?
No, I was just going to say, Kev brought up the point of the rookies. I mean, that's really the only thing is, like, I would be looking to fade rookies and redraft. And I might bump up some guys who have that continuity, you know, guys that have practiced together, been together for a couple of years, things like that. Other than that, like, it's really not going to change much, because, like, there's so much uncertainty. We have no idea what's going to happen. The NFL doesn't know what's going to happen, but that would be a thing because of the practice and the time played together and that sort of thing, where rookies are going to take a little bit of a drop for me. And then some vets who've played together, you know what I mean? Looking to, you know, like a Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. Like, I wouldn't be going toward that to begin with, but the fact that they haven't been able to play together, like players that are changing teams and situations, you know, maybe even something like your Cincinnati Bengals.
Not my Cincinnati, my former. The fatheads just don't come off the wall easily. So That's Chad Johnson back there. If you can't make that out, that's when I was a Bengals fan way back then.
What happened?
The Bengals. the straw that broke my back was the playoff loss to the Steelers, where Vontaze Burfict just went like a complete freaking moron, and I got all pissed off, and then realized, well, this is ruining football for me. So maybe I should just jump further into fantasy football. Then I did, and I have joined Dynasty Football. I played a lot more DFS the next year. Literally, football became a lot more fun for me. I found myself enjoying Sundays and not just hating Sundays. That's the life of a Bengals fan.
Was that actually
was that the year that Jeremy Hill fumbled in the playoffs?
I'm sure that happened too. I don't know. I don't remember all their playoff heartbreaks. There were lots of them. Like 5 years in a row or something, like couldn't get a win. But yeah, the Bengals had the win, and they had, what was it? Two personal foul penalties that pushed the Steelers all the way into field goal range.
You follow them at all.
I follow them as much as I follow every other NFL team at this point.
So I'll say this, because as a Chiefs fan, I know the pain. Okay. Now yeah. I don't, but I know the pain prior to this. The Chiefs have lost every possible way you can in the playoffs. They hadn't won a playoff game since 1993, and every possible scenario.
Oh, right? Back to 1993.
Well, they hadn't won a Super Bowl since, you know.
They hadn't won a Super Bowl since. Come and look at the Bengals, man.
At least they've been.
You're not going to get any empathy here.
Well, hey. We draft the Messiah, the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time. The you know, and it changes. So maybe Joe Burrow is your Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever happen with Mike Brown as the owner. I've got some issues with him too. He doesn't care about winning. It's his business. He cares about profits, and he makes a lot. He makes enough money that
would
I don't
you root
think
for the Bengals if they made it to the Super Bowl?
Would I root for them? I wouldn't root for or against them. I mean, I literally
so
have
you're
no-
that done. You're that done. You're you're the scorned lover that's like never going back. You know?
I don't have anything against them. Like, I won't root against. It depends on who they were playing, I guess. Do I have who did I bet on? It would be the most important thing. Who do I have in my NFL playoff fantasy leagues? That would also be important to me. Whether they win or lose, I don't care about the outcomes of any NFL game on Sundays anymore. It has zero effect on me. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think fantasy football has some effect on that. Like for every fan, though, I think
probably
as more you get into fantasy, you start caring a little bit less.
You get a little numb to the reality of the NFL because it's just
all you care about is results. Just results.
Yep. I care about so many teams in the NFL. Every single one of them is what I've constructed on my fantasy teams. Those are the teams I care about, and I've got a lot of them, so I root for all of them.
Yeah, I don't even care about the teams. I just care about the players, and I just care about the so there's no sweat like a DFS sweat, especially once you start moving up in the pool, and then it gets real.
Those are fun. Those are definitely week 16 championship week. I will say I'm basically on pins and needles that entire week. And then throughout the season, anytime I'm in the hunt for when I could possibly win and take down a DFS tourney, like those are unbelievable. And I 2017, I think it was, I took one down in week 16 on top of winning like some champion. No, it was 2018. Cause I think that was my best one. And I smashed a bunch of dynasty championships and a DFS tournament in week 16, and I popped open some good beer that night. It was fantastic.
I'd be calling in the next day. I ain't going to work. I don't remember
if I went to work or not. I probably did not.
I'm gonna get tore up. Like I'm gonna get fucked up. I can tell you, if I ever take down the Millie, I'm going live on this platform right here. I'm gonna be naked. Okay, it's gonna be all kinds of stuff flying around. Like I don't even give a shit. Like it's gonna get weird. Okay,
yeah, if I take that down, you will never hear from me again. That'll be it. I will probably be done with all of fantasy football. I don't know why I would continue. That would be the best. You can't beat that. I'm not gonna expect to win two of them.
Until you get the ring on your doorbell, John Bosch with the van pulling up in your driveway.
Yep, that's exactly what winning the Millie. That would be van life would start immediately. That van would be really freaking nice.
For those of you who don't know, the little story behind that is Bosch's dream is to have a van just live in and drive to teammates and people that he knows in the fantasy community and, you know, watch NFL games with them and just live in the van and live that hashtag van life.
Yes,
it just makes me think of
van
like,
life. Oh.
Man living down by the river.
You can go wherever you want. Oh God, I can't wait. It's gonna happen. It has to happen. I dream of it every day. Oh, I wanna go see this part of America. All right, I gotta go watch football somewhere on Sunday. Who lives close to here that I can drive and watch football with you for the day?
Just spike that Millie. That's all you gotta do. 1 week, spike it, and you're good to go.
Yeah,
just do
I don't
that.
Know why I haven't done that yet. Oh, I've been approaching this so wrong. I'm an idiot.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Craig doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's the real reason why Bosch has joined 30 leagues. He's like, all right, if I can just win 28 of these 1 year, I might be able to buy that van.
They would not come close to winning the league.
Just listen to the DFS DGEN Nation. You know,
I do listen to DFS DGEN Nation.
Well, you must be listening to Ryan too much. That must be what we happened.
I listen in season. I actually listen to more DFS podcasts than anything else. There's like seven or eight of them in my rotation, and I listen to every single one of them, and they are all fantastic. There's like one more issue with COVID that we should probably touch on if you want to go to that.
Real quick, Bosch, I was just going to say, you know, let's say your work, your company, your family comes to you and they say, we want to set up a league. So this is just for like your most casual.
Oh my God.
Fan of casual fans for redraft.
I'd probably say no.
You don't have to play.
I'm kidding.
But you're now his pinky's up. Now Bosch is going to go out here and start tearing down people the way that Kevin did to start the show. So obviously for the casual fan, they're not going to want to sit there and draft 28 rounds to like, you know what I mean? So would you expand to like 20 rounds? Would you just do like your regular 17 round and maybe open up after the draft for people just to add? Would you just have like an unlimited IR? How would you set that up in terms of, I guess, just the overall like roster size and IR spots for like your most casual of casual redraft leagues?
Wait, is 17 rounds a standard?
Because it's like 15 rounds.
That's an odd number. I really hope every redraft league I'm in has an even number of rounds at least. So
no, I think it's 15 is standard. I think 15
that's
rounds.
Freaking terrible. That's on your commissioner. Your commissioner can, I know 100% your commissioner can adjust that, and they definitely should. Because if you're playing in an odd number of rounds, that's somebody screwing somebody else. Yeah, definitely don't do that. Do either 14 or 16 if you want to do 15. Just because obviously you have to give the benefit to the people that are in it. If it's a snake draft, which again, that's terrible. If it's an auction, go with 15 because auctions are way better and you can do whatever you want. What I would do, to me, the kind of the standard in redraft is 16. That's what I'm used to. That's what most of my redraft leagues will play with. That's an amount that you can get a draft done and have an enjoyable time and not have it drag on and feel like you're drafting people that nobody knows.
Right.
I would love the drafts to be 24 rounds because the guy that shows up with the magazine has no fucking shot to win that league at all. Whereas those of us who are still doing podcasts in July and we've been doing podcasts in June, you know, everybody like we knew about the 2020 rookie class for 2 years, it felt like, good Lord. So like the deeper a league is, the more advantage to us, I think. for that kind of casual league that, that you're talking about, let's assume that it was a 16 round draft the year before, I would say add two rounds. If you don't have an IR where you can, you know, it, IR is the first option. That's for me. Don't change your roster setup. If you can change your IR setup, allow more people on the IR, because that's truly what you need to do. These guys are going to be out for something that the league is, was set up at a time where you weren't expecting what could possibly happen. But I don't want to overcorrect for what might not happen either. So if you can do it through the IR, that's the option first. If you can't, if it's a league that's used to 16 rounds, add two spots. Like that's not a huge amount. That's enough that everybody, if you're going to have more than 10% of your players test positive, you got unlucky. I mean, that's this, that's very similar to somebody who has four or five injuries in a year in a redraft league where you only roster 16 and, you know, 25% of your roster gets injured. Yeah, you're out for that year. The one good thing about redraft is it doesn't affect you next year. So for me, like if it's a league of 16, just add two spots and you're probably good there. That to me seems reasonable and enough. I don't think you can go to, like you said, the people will get bored if you go from 16 to, if you're trying to push it to 20 or 22 or 24, like that'll be a drag and those people will lose interest.
Yeah. And you're going to have a lot of people not knowing who they're picking. So
yeah. It'd be just the site, whoever's next on whatever the site is anyways.
That happens anyways.
Like I said, it like, really does. It's sad.
Like I said, my home league, which has been together for like 10 years, like a couple years ago, like Michael Gallup rookie year, I took Michael Gallup and someone was like, who? I'm like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? And they're like, yeah, who is that? And I'm like, yeah.
Like it changes when you hit that fantasy football Twitter world. You start to learn a lot more.
Well, yeah, well, so like we talk about it all the time, being in the Twitter bubble, right? Like we think I think most people get caught up thinking that's how everybody is.
We're really such not. A small percentage
if
of fantasy players.
If you get out of the Twitter
insane.
Bubble, like you find out that like the majority makes up of the just that standard guy who maybe starts looking or missing the pods or looking for content like 2 weeks before their draft, and that's really what they do. They're not following this all year.
I'll never forget when the Tyreek Hill news broke. I was at a party with some people, and one of them happened to be a league mate who's slightly more casual. I'm, of course, my phone, I'm just staring at it, like watching, like, oh my God, all these reports, this is crazy. And then the next time I passed him at the party, I was like, dude, can you believe this Tyreek Hill stuff? And he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, wait, you don't already know this? And I kind of wanted to like not say anything to him to see, just to see if I could like watch to see how long it would take him to have found out. But I couldn't. I had to talk to him about it. But later on, like the next week, I was talking to somebody who like still hadn't heard. Like they hadn't heard about this. I'm like, how do you not know about what's going on with NFL players? And, you know, if they're not on social media, if all they do is wait until they get their magazine before the draft, and that magazine was printed before any news comes out or something like that. Like, yeah, that is the majority of players. I've done some work for draft day consultants. So I got to do like drafts for some, I'll call them casual leagues last year. It was eye-opening, the teams that I was able to build in some of those leagues. So anybody listening here, you should definitely have an advantage just from the fact that you have paid attention for the last few months and half your league might not have been.
Also, I will say this. Fantasy football is still a fickle, fickle bitch. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
In this same league, as a keeper league, I have never won. My team is fucking stacked every fucking year, and I have lost in the first round of the fucking playoffs because my team every fucking year fucking just completely shits the bed, and then the next 2 weeks afterwards fucking dominates, outscores the rest of the league. It happens every fucking year. We joke about it now. It's like
let's see what the common link is. Every year it's you setting that lineup in the fantasy. No, I'm just giving, I guess
but see, it's a keeper league though, so it's like a cross between keeper and dynasty, because you can keep up to six players, which is kind of a lot for fantasy football.
Well, Scott Fisher would have a heart attack if you called six keeper a dynasty.
Well, I shouldn't say it's dynasty, but like it's most keeper leagues are like one or two players, right?
Yeah, I gotcha.
And so you keep up to six. Like right now, like I have like Saquon. So I have Saquon, Chris Godwin, Last year I had Aaron Jones and who the fuck else? Nick Chubb and Stephon Diggs.
You got a good roster.
Yeah.
It sounds like coaching to me.
Allen Robinson, you know, like team was fucking rocked. Every fucking year it happens. I don't fucking get it. Like, I want to smash it. Like every fucking year.
Kevin, you know what that's called, right? There's a little word for that that's spoken a lot of called variance. You know how you decrease variance? You just play in like 30 fucking leagues. That's why we play in so many leagues. Because
you know what I think though. You know what? You know what I think though. This is what I've come up with. Okay. This is what I've come up with. That when you have a team that's so stacked, your team is kind of set, right? Because most people aren't gonna. So you get lazy
and let your guard down, expecting to win.
Well, no, it's not that. It has nothing to do with that. It's that you're not gonna realistically sit Aaron Jones. You're not gonna sit Saquon Barkley. You're not gonna sit all these guys when you have all these studs, right? Which when you're playing somebody who has a very mediocre team, right, and could go many different directions. So for that week, they can just play fucking matchup where you're stuck playing these guys that you have, right? Because your team is so fucking stacked, you're automatically going to play those dudes. And so once you play a team that isn't stacked like that, they have somewhat of an advantage in the way of they can play whoever the fuck they want to, because they're just going to get crazy with it and play who the fuck ever, while you are stuck playing this team you have. While yes, it's still a very good team, but it's certainly possible on a week-to-week basis that a lot of those guys are going to have down weeks. And when that happens, that's when you get fucking right up the fucking ass every fucking week. So that is what happened. That is what it is. I have analyzed this enough, and that is what I know. Okay, it has nothing to do with anything else. I am the fucking goat. All right, like I can draft anybody's team. We're going to the fucking playoffs. I am always in the fucking playoffs. Now I can't help it what the fantasy guys do to me after that. It's like they have smite me because of how great I am, and my greatness, I think, is what it is. So I'm just going
to
walk
one year. One year, I want you to just play in like 30 leagues. Not even Dynasty. Just do like 30 redraft leagues, and you will look at it totally different. You'll be like, yep, that team got fucked. But over here, I screwed this other guy in this playoff. So it all comes out in the wash. That's literally one of the reasons I play in so many, is because I end up doing it. I don't have that much passion for one loss, unless it's a league that's special. You know, there's some leagues that still have a special spot, and when I lose those, it hurts a little bit more. But you're playing enough of them, you just have to go, all right,
well,
that
that's
one,
why
yeah, I got screwed in that one. Yes, and that's that definitely makes up for it too, because in DFS, you do play the matchups, but you said it yourself. You can't bring yourself to sit studs when you're playing in redraft, but you should. Sometimes you have to make that weird decision in a redraft. If a guy's got it, and it happens with, I play a lot of super flex, basically all super flex. So like it really happens with quarterback matchups, and come playoff time, you have to throw out. I don't care who's, let's face it, Lamar and Mahomes, they're starting, but literally like everybody else, I don't care how good the quarterback's been all year. For me, playoff fantasy football or fantasy football playoffs, at the quarterback position especially, just becomes nothing but a matchup base. I will choose only off of what I hear on DFS podcasts. I don't care if I have Aaron Rodgers. I will bench him if I need to and start some guy that has a much better matchup and is projected to score more fantasy points that week. And you can't get that from the fantasy site that you're using. Like you can't go with, oh, this guy's expected to score this many points. No, that's where you have to listen to DFS podcasts, and you can find or read DFS articles. You can find that content, and you can find your matchups. You have to make that weird decision, because otherwise you end up getting a little upset.
Well, we say that every year too, like on the pod. I always tell people, like, you should be listening to DFS podcasts every, yep, even if you don't play DFS, because the knowledge that you're going to get, the level that they're breaking down each game and each situation and everything
is
unparalleled compared to any most redraft leagues that you're going to listen to. Most of them are going to, yep, gloss over. They're going to talk about a couple of guys match up that week that you kind of that they like, and that's it. They're not going to be diving super deep into it, talking about some, you know, unnamed wide or any name wide receiver that most people probably aren't even thinking about playing that have a great matchup, you know, looking at wide receiver cornerback matchups and everything else that you know that goes into DFS and the weekly grind of the reason I love DFS so much is because of that puzzle of the putting together that weekly lineup, trying to figure out to make that perfect lineup every single week. That like really is what I really love the most. Obviously I love, you know, making money, you know, and that sweat every single week, but for me, like, that's why I like it more than redraft. I play in one redraft league because it's a home league, and that's the only reason I play in it is because it's just a home league with a bunch of people I grew up with. We've been playing it for 10 years. Other than that, I spend all my money and all my time on DFS.
But in DFS, when you don't just take one shot at a max multi-entry contest.
But
when you're playing redraft, if you're only taking one shot at it, that week 14 or 15 loss in the playoffs feels like you're getting screwed. It's not. It's just that lineup just didn't work out and you didn't have a bunch of different entries.
I don't want to hear it. That's not what it is. That's not what I've told myself. Okay.
It's not variance. Not at all. No. There's no parallels to this or anything else.
We're going to have a live seance on this show. We're gonna kill a chicken on air. Get the monkey off my back.
All right, so we've hit the hour mark, Bosh. You said there was one more thing to touch on here with the COVID stuff. Go ahead and hit on that, and we'll start to wrap up here.
So for Dynasty Leagues, the big question is, what do you do with 2021 picks? How do you determine it if there's no season or if there's a partial season? And honestly, that one's a pain in the ass. Every single one of my
the year before.
No, God, no, don't do that, people. If you do that, you're giving somebody such a severe advantage. Like, that's just you somebody's getting double the advantage for having
a bad season. I guess that makes sense. You're getting two number ones 2 years in a row.
Like, if somebody gets the 101, they cannot have the 101 back to back years. That's, I mean, they could earn it, but like just giving it to them, that's lazy, and that's just. For me, that's just terrible because somebody's going to get just a godsend. Like, I would tank every single dynasty. If somebody told me you can have the 101 for 2 years in a row, if you get last place this year, I would automatically do that. I wouldn't even try to win. I would say I will take the 101 for back-to-back years. Here's my money for my entry fees. I mean, that's so easy that I would take the 101 to give up 1 year if I got 2 years in a row. So no, definitely don't do that. For me, what I've kind of come up with, most of my leagues are auction, which is really easy. That makes it so much simpler because I can give people that have been eliminated from the playoff contention, they're getting the average auction amount for whatever number of teams are out. So say six teams are out of it. If the NFL the NFL season gets canceled, the entire amount that those six teams would get will be added up and then divided by six, and every single one of those six teams is getting the same. The other eight teams that are still active, same thing. Theirs is all going to get added up, and then they're getting the average. So that's one way where, like, the people that are already out of it get a little bit of an advantage. If there's no season at all, for me, everybody's just going to get a flat rate in 2021. That's not great. It kind of sucks. There's plenty of people that are going to get screwed by that because they were going to earn – by losing a lot more money. There's some people that are going to get an advantage to that because they had a better team. I've tried to tell people, like, yeah, the people that are losing that or gaining that advantage in next year's auction money, they lost a chance to win actual money in the championship. Like, that weighs in too. Like, they lost that, so they're getting this back a little bit. So auction's a little bit easier. Salary cap leagues, those are pretty easy. I'm just giving people the option if you want the year to count against a player or not, because there's no great fair way to say everybody's losing a year if we played five games, or nobody's losing a year. Like, teams are setting up their salary caps in salary cap leagues for multiple years out. They might have a guy that's supposed to be 1 year left on his deal that they wanted this year. They don't want him in 2021. So, like, I don't want to make that determination for every owner. So I've individualized that in my leagues, and they'll get to determine it. Draft pick order. That's the big one. There is absolutely no fair way to do a straight draft pick order. For what I ended up doing, dividing the teams that are in contention and the teams that are out of contention. Somebody's going to get screwed again, but at least we separate a little bit. So let's say half the teams are already mathematically out of the playoff hunt. If the season gets canceled, they'll be randomized. There's no fair way to do it. For me, I can't just go back to last year's settings. I don't want to do just total points scored. Some people have had byes. Some people haven't had byes. I don't know what's going to be scored the next 7 weeks of the season that got canceled. There's no way for me to project that. There are ways to do weighted lottery systems, which are all fantastic. They're all a lot of work. And I'm a little bit lazy because I have a lot of leagues. So I don't feel like doing that. And I've opened it up to every single owner in all my leagues. Hey, if you've got a good way to do a weighted lottery, like, let me know. Show me the formula you want to use. Explain it to the chat. Like, we can all get on board on this. Nobody has stepped up to give me a weighted formula yet. So I kind of feel like nobody's all that interested in it and doing the work for it either. So for me, it's just going to be, we're just going to make a fun event of it at least. And we'll use 100yard-dash.com. And you might end up getting the 101, even if you were just slightly outside the playoff picture. You might end up with the 101. I mean, for me, when there's no really fair way to do something, you're going to have to leave it up to random. And I hate random. Like, that's why I hate snake drafts, because the draft order is typically determined randomly. And that, to me, is like the worst way you can start a fantasy league, because somebody's getting an inherent advantage by doing nothing. But unfortunately, random is somewhat fair in this case. If we get to this situation, it's not great. There's no perfect way. So hopefully we'll all at least have fun watching watching a digital race to determine our draft fate, which sounds like a nightmare. And that's what luckily I only have a couple of leagues where the future picks are draft picks and they're not auction budget or something like that. It's another argument for auction. It just makes it a lot easier to do stuff like this. It's so much more flexible.
So I'm going to shit on the dynasty community one more time. And I'm just going to,
okay, go for it.
Why does it seem like people in dynasty leagues don't ever think about winning? Like, it feels like it's always like a secondary.
I try to win every year. I think you might be listening to the wrong people, because for me, it's all about winning. If you're only listening to people that only care about their rosters, those people are what you call fish. And you love having them in your league because it makes it real easy to win their money. They have sexy rosters. They have lots of draft picks.
It feels like people just like want to trade and they just want to show off their rosters. I'm like, yeah, just look at my roster. Look how sexy it is.
Yeah.
And look at it. And it's like I don't ever hear people like talk about like winning. Like, and like, what do you do to win a dynasty league?
I think you might be following the wrong people.
I'm just saying. It's just what it sounds like.
You want
to
follow
me.
Different people. Extremely important.
Only thing people I ever hear people talk about is just the trading part of it. Like, who do I trade? I want to know who I should trade, what the value is of the trade, and that's all I want to know. Because I'm gonna send out about 47 trades, and that's all I care about. That's what, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong. Plain and simple. I mean, the point of training is to try and make your team better and win. That's my point. I play to win. I enjoy winning.
You should be. Like Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game. You don't just play it to play it, all right?
I mean, there are multiple ways to win, but ultimately you do have to win. There are people, you're not wrong. There are some people who continuously trade for next year. Like that, they're always thinking about next year and never thinking about this year. Cody can attest to it. He's seen me in leagues. I'll sell the fucking farm to try and win a championship. I don't care. I go hard to win, which then makes other people in the leagues that I'm in kind of have to follow the same strategy in order to beat you. So, I mean, you do have to have people that are willing to go for it. But if usually in a 12 team league, you don't get 12 people that are all looking for the future. They're real easy to identify. I know in all of my leagues, the folks that are future players, and they're great. Because you can trade them your future picks and you can get all kinds of assets to help you win a championship. That's part of Dynasty. You got to identify that person in your league. And you're not wrong. There are plenty of people that focus on that aspect of it. They're playing Dynasty wrong. So I don't know how to justify how they're playing. Maybe they're getting entertainment out of it and they're getting the bang for their buck that they want, which is fine. I want to win. I like winning, so I go that route.
What's the only thing that I care about? So as we've already, yeah.
I enjoy leagues. I enjoy having some leagues with good people, but I definitely want to beat them. I mean, whether I enjoy the league or not, I want to win. There's leagues that I will stay in forever. Kamikaze, I'll be in Kamikaze forever because of the people. But I definitely want to fucking win the league again. It's been a little bit since I've won it. I think I won it 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and I haven't won it since, and it's very annoying. Maybe this will be the year I get to win it again.
Maybe it's not true. Maybe it's just a misconception. Like, I'll be completely honest. I do not listen to a single Dynasty podcast. Like, because I do not play any Dynasty, so I don't listen to any of them. I don't listen to any of it. So, like, it's just not my thing.
I think you may have heard one time that sushi was bad and not liked sushi ever since then.
It's just like been my perspective of seeing how people talk in the Dynasty community. And it's always like we're kicking the can down the road and it's acquiring future picks and it's acquiring this. Now, I get it, acquiring asset part of it, but it just always feels like that people are always, like you said, like concerned about the future and never concerned about, like, I want to win right now. Like,
those people are the same people that complain that they didn't win the Millie Maker on their $120 entry. So,
the people those
people live in all the fantasy football areas. They're what you call the people you make money off of. They're around in poker. They're the people that if you can't spot the sucker, you are the sucker. You know that saying, like, yeah, that's that occurs in every form of skill based playing, we'll call it skill, because it's not gambling, it's a skill-based game, right? You know, so that's what fantasy football is, that's what poker is. And yeah, those people definitely live in Dynasty, they live in DFS, they live in redraft. Usually it's the guy that shows up with just his 6-month-old magazine,
which is really the worst, because I've still never understood why anybody buys them ever. Like,
I used to buy them, yes.
But like, now, like, it's free. Like, you don't have to pay for it. Like, what are you even doing paying for that? Like, if you're going to pay for something, go pay for like a site subscription to somewhere where you're actually getting value throughout the entire year that you can use it in season and everything else that gives you so much more value than going to buy that $10 draft mag that was made and produced in March, that was printed in May, that is so outdated and has I don't know. I just never understand it. But I guess, like I said, people don't look hard enough and they're looking for the easiest thing. They're at the store. They're picking up their groceries. They walk by. Oh, look at that. The new draft mag is out. Let me go ahead and grab that. All right. Got it. Now we're ready for drafting now. And, you know, but like you said, those are the ones that you typically are able just to take their money every year.
Yep. It's probably been 4 or 5 years since I bought a draft magazine. I used to buy one every year on our July vacation. This was before I was in the Dynasty, before I was on Twitter and stuff like that. And that was, to me, like, that was the start of my fantasy football year, because I would get my draft magazine. I would sit on the beach. I would drink my beer and I would read my draft magazine. Oh, my God. That was probably pre-kids. Jeez, old Pete's, it's been way more than 5 years. Oh, my God. I'm now realizing how long it's probably been. It's probably been, God, that's probably been 7 or 8 years since I've bought a magazine. But I will say in some of them, because I know some people that write in some of them, they still have all the player stuff that stuff is kind of out of date in a lot of cases. I did notice some of them have actually started to shift more towards discussing some actual strategies in the magazines. I do wonder how many people read those. For me, like, give me a strategy article, I will read that all day. Don't mention a player name. That's what I want out of fantasy football. I will read somebody's strategy on fantasy football over and over and over. I'll read 100 different strategies. I don't care about your player takes. Like, they don't matter to me at all. Players don't matter. Give me a strategy talk. So there are some guides out there that I did see start to make that transition a little bit towards strategy. And I do wonder if it's because they kind of realize, look, when you print out stuff 6 months in advance, it's obviously going to be not important. But strategy stuff, it kind of stays a little bit more evergreen. Also, that's all available on websites everywhere too. So,
yeah, I do think that we need more. We need more lineup construction talk when it terms of in season stuff, strategies, and all that stuff. But certainly, lineup construction needs more focused on in a redraft league. I think most people kind of view it as most of the players you draft them, you set it, you walk away, and then you have your flex plays that you kind of got to decide between every week, and then you have your bye weeks. But other than that, that's about it. But there's not a lot of the conversation on lineup construction and things of that nature in terms of redraft leagues or in season. I guess it doesn't really matter. In season's in season forever. everybody. You know, it doesn't matter what league you're in. But obviously for a dynasty league, you have much deeper rosters, so you have a little bit more of a decision to make and stuff like that. But in terms of a just, you know, overall, but there's not enough discussion in terms of season-long leagues when it comes to roster construction and things of that nature, and you know, different types of builds and everything else that you can do.
People just want, tell me who to start. And that's the worst. Like, I mean, I get it why people want it, because that's their biggest question. But like, I mean, teaching somebody how to do the research and learn that, or providing research and teaching somebody how to make the decisions on the start set. Oh my God, so much more interesting to me. Like, I can listen to people talk about that kind of stuff so much more than a start set. That's just, but I'm weird. Like, I think a lot of people just do want, just tell me who to start. Tell me.
Yeah, most people want that quick list of just say, actually, if you just list it for them and not put your opinion into it, can you just, I don't need your opinion on why. You don't got to give me all that.
Can you just say the name? Can you just give me 150 millimaker lineups, and can you do me a favor? You actually just log into my account, submit them all for me too. I'll just give you the money. If I win, that's great. But like, no, there are some people that approach it that way. To me, that's not fun. I play this game for the strategy of it. It's just, I mean, to me, it's a game of strategy like no other. And I've played strategy games all my life. This is just the one that I can gamble on and sit and watch football while doing it. So it's fantastic. It's perfect.
And unfortunately, this year is going to be the ultimate game of strategy with COVID-19 continually being a problem in our lives.
Yeah, definitely gonna favor those that are on top of waivers, probably on top of their league settings and understanding what you can and cannot do from an injured reserve perspective. You got to make sure you're paying attention to that, folks. I'm sure everybody listening to this will be, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be like the utmost importance of when it comes to waiver wire. The guy, the gal. Who produces the waiver wire article for sites or the podcast
for a raise.
Or the video are going to be the most sought after person this year. So
can you imagine from a DFS perspective, like if somebody has a positive test on a Friday or a Saturday or on game day, for the love of God, like, can you imagine the swing? All those, imagine if it's I don't know what time the testing will be done on game day. I don't know, but let's say it comes out at 2:00 Eastern time. That somebody in a late game tested positive. Like, can you imagine the amount of late swapping that, you know, if it's a star, and so many people don't utilize late swap, like there's just such an edge there that it's going to be wild. Like, I wonder, I don't know that DraftKings ever gives out statistics on it, but like, I would love to know, like, what was this person's rostered percentage prior to the news breaking? And then what did it drop to? It should drop to zero, but you know it never does.
It's one of the biggest difference between like your fish and your actual like people that are, you know, DFS pros or touts or whatever you want to call them, your pros or whatever, is that people utilizing late swap. Like, most people don't. Most people, they set their lineups, they're done, they walk away.
Let me know if I won or not.
And in reality, that should never be how it works. It's like, even like people do it with NBA too, which is wild to me, because NBA even more so, you have to be paying attention even past lock, because of the fact that you have guys that get swapped out and everything else. But there's a lot of people that don't. They set their lineup, they leave it. As long as they don't get a notification that somebody they have in one of their lineups is out, they leave it, they walk away. Same thing with the NFL, is the same way. Yeah. You should be going back, reviewing all your lineup to see if you have some that are kind of borderline dead, then just to swap out some of the guys you know that are chalk, putting in the guys who are going to have much lower ownership just to see what you can do. You might be able to get, you know, hit cash that way, stuff like that. There certainly is a strategy that people don't utilize enough in DFS.
And this year, I think there's a chance that this year it becomes even more important, which is the major advantage of any sharp out there, because they are the ones that use it, and they'll just get to clean up a little bit more.
For sure.
Now, other people do view it like, when that, if that guy's announced out, oh, well, that lineup's dead. Like, no, like, you can take your chance. You can actually swap. But, oh, well, it's crazy.
All right, real quick as we wrap this up, Bosch, we can't have you on this podcast and not talk about your contribution to the Scott Fish Bowl and what you do with the Fantasy Carers Eliminator. So if you're listening to this and you don't know what it is, they are eliminator leagues that John Bosch puts together every year with, you know, with actual celebrities. and then with, you know, celebrities within the fantasy community, right? And I know
there are, let's call it celebrities in quotes. These are all fantasy football celebrities. So we'll call them quote celebrities.
Was it? Well,
they don't have any of the A-listers, okay? Because I'm not there, so they clearly don't have any of the A-list celebs, okay? Stop.
You're welcome to jump in. I think we got just about every fantasy football analyst. There's still a few out there that I haven't been able to reach, but I'm hopeful for next year that by next year we will be able to get them. Next year there is a chance that there are some actual, like, real people that people know, like real celebrities. Talked with a couple of them. There's a chance that we might get some real celebrity eliminators next year, which would be insane. But more people are jumping into SFB now that are, you know, closet junkie fantasy football people, and they're finding SFB, and they don't care. They don't care that they're famous. They just want to play in SFB. So
that was like a dig. Did you hear that? Like almost every fantasy analyst. Well, clearly I'm not in it. And he's like, oh yeah,
you
like,
are welcome. I am
a peasant. Nobody gives a shit about you.
There is no chance I did not at some point reach out to you about doing one.
You probably have. Okay, let's be honest. You probably have.
I am sure that I have. I'll go back in the DMs.
I was gonna say I can't wait for the screenshot after this, where it's from Bosch in 2016, being like, hey man, you want to do these eliminators?
Unanswered and ignored for sure. You know I'm looking right now. No, I won't look. Next year, jump in. Next year, jump in for sure.
But so either way.
We should probably talk about what they are, right?
Yeah, so there are 17 people in each league, and then it's just the eliminated league. You draft your teams, and then at the end of the week, if you are the lowest scoring team, you're out, and then everyone else moves on. There's no waivers. It's best ball. It's actually a really cool opportunity for you to be able to interact with, you know, your favorite analyst. Like this year, I jumped in with JJ Zacharyson, Pittsburgh guy. So I jumped in with him. Jumped into the one with Levitan, Penn State grad. So I jumped in with that one. And most of them are interactive in the group chats and everything. You know, during the season too, both of those guys have been responding to messages. Someone in the Levitan chat asked him a question about, like, so I guess their established runners doing something with Yahoo, so they were talking about that. So it's just been really cool to see.
Let's be honest, people also ask about like skin to fur to Adam and stuff like that. all the bits that he does, that also gets discussed probably higher than football.
Does anybody ask him for his cash game plays?
No. Luckily, everybody that's gotten in is kind of understood. Like, I mean, let's be cool and have fun. And, you know, let's not do that. Although I could see somebody asking it, you know, kind of as a joke is how I would interpret it. Hopefully, if anybody asks, that's how they're asking. I assume that if they've jumped in the Levitans, they've listened to him and they understand the running joke of he's not giving out his cash game play.
He gets almost borderline angry every show that he every podcast because like he doesn't want to talk about it because he doesn't want to give out his cash game plays.
It's so funny when they just dig him too.
And the best part is like his like tone never really changes. You know what I mean? Like it's just like his volume might fluctuate. But anyway,
I missed that show.
Just to end on this, how many leagues did you end up putting together this year, Bosch, and how much money did that put toward the Scott Fish Bowl and the Toys for Tots and Fantasy Cares?
So you told me that you were going to ask this, and I forgot to look it up. But I think we ended at about 150 of those eliminator leagues, which is insane. So I have to give a big shout-out to Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse, Matt Price, and Alan Hepworth. They jumped in and helped me this year. I could not have managed to get all of them going in the time frame that we did. I try to get them all done before SFB week kicks off. Like that's always my goal. June is eliminator month. Start of July is SFB month. So I want to provide that little appetizer as we get ready for SFB. I couldn't have done it this year without those guys. 150 leagues was a lot. It was a lot. And it's great. I mean, they filled up faster this year than they've ever filled up before. That was why I truly needed help. I literally the day one that I posted the link to sign up, I was overwhelmed. I had no idea how I was going to get so many leagues going, because you people out there just signed up crazy. I mean, everybody wanted fantasy football. This was an option, and people just went nuts with the signups, which was great. So do that again next year. Overwhelm me. I'll figure it out. Money-wise, I think it's going to end up raising about $20,000. It's a little tougher to calculate this year because it kind of took on a life of its own with people donating to different charities, kind of in the name of it. Something would happen in the chat in one of these leagues, and like they would bet each other, hey, if you don't pick this guy, I'll donate 10 bucks to whatever charity you want. Or if you pick this guy and win, that's the best one. This is Curtis Patrick and his threw out a challenge to his chat. If you take Mitch Trubisky in this round, I think it was the fourth round, I think they were in. If you take Mitch Trubisky in this round and you win, I'll donate $100 to a charity. I think just about every single other person in that league also backed that up. So there's like $1,500 for charity riding on Mitchell Trubisky winning, being on the winning roster. And the thing is, Jason Tran and Derek McCreath are the owners of this team. He's their third quarterback. So like the roster has a legitimate chance to win. So it's a little tougher for me to calculate like the total amount. I can't even really try, but like 20,000 is about the amount that we've sent to, it'll be part of the toy drive that we do every year for Fantasy Cares. We go out in December, we buy a ton of toys, donate them to Toys for Tots. I've got to do that for the past few years, shopping wise. It's awesome. I get to take my kids, my wife doing it. We take some friends now because it's grown so much. Like we need that. We need that help. And then I've also this year, we donated a bunch to gopantry.org, that's the website for a local food bank close to me. They're in huge need. I started a bunch of auctions back in March when COVID hit, and all of a sudden, like kids that usually rely on getting their meal at school, we're at home. So like they had a huge need. They needed to feed people. So we've really kind of done a good amount of support to them this year as well, which has been great. And every single eliminator this year has a COVID clause at the bottom of every single league page, might be at the top. It says if the NFL season is canceled, all the winnings. So every league you can win $50. Which honestly, most people end up donating, which is awesome. But you don't have to. You can use that $50 for whatever you want. You want it, you sure do whatever you want with it. But this year, if the league gets canceled, all that money is going straight to Go Pantry. Because for me, like if this league gets canceled, we are just in such a bad spot that I can't even, nobody's going to care about getting their money back. I'm not splitting $50 16 ways and I'm not sending $3 and whatever amount of cents to every single owner over and over and over. All that money's gone. And like everybody's like, yeah, that's fine. By the way, if I win, send it there anyways. To which I say, no, I'm not tracking what I'm doing with your winnings. Don't ask me to do that. You'll get your winnings. You can send it wherever you want. So that's the eliminators. Like you said, it's a fun competition. They're 10 bucks to enter for most of them. Some of them are a little bit more expensive. You get a fun chat out of all of them. And I've seen those chats last. There's some that still go on from like last year. People will pop in and just ask a quick question like, hey, what do you think of this player? And all of a sudden you see a conversation for like an hour during the drafts. The chats for the most part, all are pretty active. I think you get $10 worth of entertainment from that alone, and much less than, you got a chance to win a little bit more. Nobody's playing these to win money. A 5-to-1 return at a 17-to-1 odds. Not a huge math guy. I am. I like math a lot. But even if I wasn't a huge math guy, that's not really that hard to figure that's not the right return on investment for the risk that you're taking. So it's not really about that. It's all about the charity. And we have a blast doing it. Thank you to Scott Fish, who obviously gave me kind of the platform and let me jump in and start to do these with him. They have grown in a way that I did not expect to happen. I never would have thought that we could raise $20,000 through fantasy football leagues to donate to places. And then what the Pod-a-thon did this year, I mean, that's amazing. They broke 40,000 this year. It's just awesome. And the amount of stuff that has been donated because of Scott Fishbowl, people that have gotten in and sent stuff to other places. I mean, Scott has changed my view on it, quite frankly, not changed it, but I never really even thought about it. Like, I never thought about, like, oh, let's use some fantasy football to raise money for charity. But as soon as I met him, and he's like, you know, what if every single league gave one entry fee to some charity? I mean, it's when you start thinking about that number, that's enormous. And Kevin, you like to win and you like to win money, but in your redraft league, be honest, like, I don't know what your buy-in is, but let's say your winning pot was 10% less. Would you even notice? Gonna guess not.
Kevin wouldn't, since he's never won it.
That's true. He's like, I'll take a 0% payout. I just want to advance past round one. How much do I have to pay to get past round one? That's all that matters.
Oh, I have won in other leagues, okay? Thank you very much. I have won other leagues I've been in. I just not this one.
But, like, nobody ends up noticing. I mean, when you win a league, like, winning the league is winning. Getting the money is awesome. Getting a little bit less, I've never had anybody tell me that, like, it doesn't, that they notice it, or they don't want to play in a league anymore because we give 10% of it to charity. So, like, every single league that can adopt it, it's grown so much. And Scott does an awesome job spreading that word. So anytime I get the opportunity to spread that word a little bit too, I definitely will.
Yeah, man, it's been awesome to see, like you said, just all the different ways. Like, I'm doing a guillotine league, and that's all charity. Like, everything was just charity right off the bat. But, like, you know what I mean? It was just something fun for a bunch of us. Basically, like, the Eliminators, you know what I mean? The guillotine leagues, same thing. But, like, just all charity, jumped in with a bunch of those guys. And, like, it's almost become the standard in dynasty leagues almost. You know what I mean? Like, you join a league and – man, I'm trying to think of which one it was. I joined one recently, and, like, someone asked, like, oh, hey, is there a charity component? Like, it's almost like built into, like, the Twitter dynasty.
The Twitter dynasty. Yeah. And that's all Scott. He has gotten it so ingrained, and it's really the Fantasy Cares movement that he's kind of been pushing. Like, it never would have occurred to me. And I love being part of it. And like you said, it's kind of an expectation now when you start up a league with a bunch of Twitter people. If it's a dynasty league, like, I've never had anybody tell me I don't want to have any part of this be charity. Usually it's the other way around. It's, well, we can give a little bit more to, you know, find a charity. Like Kevin said, none of us are playing this to win big money. We're all playing $5 leagues. Don't play $5 leagues. Put a little bit more on it, folks. If you want to play $5, buy a DFS $5 single entry. That's what you spend $5 on. But if you're playing a $25 buy-in and you send $25 to charity out of 12, 13, 14 entries, nobody misses it.
Yeah, it's just been awesome to see how much that's grown. So, Bosch, we really appreciate you taking the time, man. This has been a really fun conversation. I'm glad we got to be a little less structured than we have in the past couple of weeks with the TFA pod, and kind of got to go off the rails and get your thoughts on all of this. So if you're not following Bosch yet, make sure you change that. You can find him on Twitter at JohnBoschFF. Like I said at the beginning, his pods are the Dynasty Game Night pod and the Dynasty Wall Street pods. You can just find, I'm assuming, across every platform.
As far as I know. So Dynasty Game Night, that's on the Dynasty League Football family podcast feed. So I am sure that they are everywhere. And the Dynasty Wall Street is on the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast feed. I believe that one is also everywhere.
Awesome. Yeah, those are definitely two of my favorite pods as well. It was nice talking to you, Bosch, and not having the nerves that I had last year when I was on the DGN pod trying to get that Scott Fishbowl invite. Like, that was a thing. Like, as I listen to those pods, I'm like, oh, come on, that's the answer. What are you doing? And then I got there, I was just like,
it's really hard to try and figure out stuff when you're on the spot, isn't it? It's way different. Dude, I love it. I love playing, but, like, I've played enough now that I don't have that, like, not deer in headlights, but yeah, deer in headlights. Like, where all of a sudden you're asked a question and you're like, oh shit. Like,
everything you know just leaves your mind.
It so does. And we see it over and over and over. Anytime somebody gets to play for the first time, it's always entertaining because they come in thinking, like, I listen and I know all these answers. It's a different story when you have to be the one answering the question. It's so hard. That's why I lose most of the time.
Especially when you're trying to win that golden ticket to the Scott Fish Bowl. And like, that was toward the end of the year as well. So I was like, man, if I don't win this, like, I'm probably not getting in.
It was like, I think it was one of the last spots given away last year.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast that Bosch does. Make sure you slam that subscribe, rate, review, do all that stuff for us. And until next time, we will be back on Wednesday. We have another guest on Wednesday. We're going to be kind of going back to the regular redraft ADP stuff. So until then, we will see you guys, and bye.
We hope enjoy your stay. It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for the day. We hope you enjoy your stay. Outside the sun is shining, seems like heaven ain't far away. It's good to have.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.